I wanted to look at Zacchaeus today. The reason to look at Zacchaeus was partly, it's kind of on the list of encountering Jesus. But actually, if I'm honest, it wasn't the story I was supposed to be covering this morning. However, our local house of prayer, we looked at Zacchaeus, and I was so inspired, I thought I'd do it today. So, really, I'm just sharing our local house of prayer's revelations this morning, and maybe a couple I've added in. But, do you know what? When we read the Bible, God speaks to us. Did you know that?
Yeah.
When we read God's word, he speaks to us. And particularly over the last few weeks in our local house of prayers, we've just read the word and we've all shared stuff. Do you know what? I've just found God really speaking to us. And I find particularly Debbie just comes out with the most profound things that I, you know, when I read the Bible. Some of these stories I've been reading for years and years and years, and then we talk about it, and Debbie will say something, and Shan actually as well, and they'll say something, and I go, wow, I've never seen that before. So it's absolutely superb.
Well,
so,
you're not speaking, is it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Debbie, you're up. No. Shan, you're up again. No. So it's a real pleasure to read the Bible together as church and learn from each other and allow God to speak to us through each other and through his word. So I really love that. I get excited by that. I just wanted to, so the weekend, just to re-emphasize that, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And I really felt like God was speaking to us. And actually where the story, if you like, the prophetic story of what God wanted to do with us, he has done and is doing onward. And if you remember, Maddie gave us a word about going to the base camp. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we were kind of coming separately to this base camp, and we had to do a bit of unpacking and maybe a bit of leaving things we didn't need for the next stage of the journey, and other things around that, wasn't it? It was about getting out, unpacking a little bit, leaving things behind and moving
forward.
Forward. Moving on, forward. Forward on. Sorry, my wife would change the title of the weekend at the moment, the first days. It's not just moving on, it's moving forward, which is very good. And he talks about moving forward into two things. And I remember the two key things he said first night. Moving forward. I know, it's a long way back. He talks about two really simple things. He talks about moving forward to Jesus, and moving forward into that for which Jesus took hold of us. Two really simple things, isn't it? Into Jesus and into what he's called us to be. That's what we're moving forward into. So we had a brilliant journey, I think, and we had seminars, spiritual gifts, people giving words, which the ones I heard were, God was definitely speaking through those things. People getting healed. Are you saying, Tam, this morning, as Asher prayed for you and all the other guys as well, so you felt something in your back and you felt like that moved? That's exciting, isn't it? So God, that's good. God's healing and he's continuing to healing. And Asher there is expecting that to happen, and so he does it. It's a lesson for us, isn't it? Let's expect it. And thank you, Val, for stepping out on that. So we did those seminars, and a few of us got hold of that. And Dave was encouraging us this morning. Do you know what? I might do it one day. I want to get you all. Whoever's in that seminar, I'm just going to line you up here. And I'm going to give you the mic and you're whatever, and you're just going to have to prophesy. Because, you know, we could do it. The problem is not whether we could do it or not. It's just stepping out. So we're going to do that one day. The evil eyes, like Shan gave me. And so we had other seminars about relationships and what it means to be family. Maddie, I understand, did a fantastic session on parenting. It sounded good. I caught the end of it. Sounded really excellent. And the other seminars we did were looking deeper. And people even enjoyed that. Even looking really deeply and getting a bit deeper in our Bible study together. And they were excellent as well. So it just felt rich, didn't it, of all the stuff we looked at. As well as food and fun and singing Bohemian Rhapsody. A room full of people singing Bohemian Rhapsody. If I'm honest, that was my highlight of the weekend. Absolutely brilliant. Rhonda there with her karaoke. It's superb. I know you could do it on a Sunday morning, but it was great. It was fantastic fun. And fireworks, just amazing fireworks. They were good, weren't they?
Yeah.
I'm just amazed how much we squeezed in, really, I felt, and still had a brilliant time. So, but God is speaking to us. And so at the end, Amber gave us a word out of this, moving on from base camp, wasn't it, Amber? That was the kind of sense. And I feel like that prophetic word that she brought was incredibly directional and strategic and all of that. Directional and strategic. Let's just leave it at that. I can think of a third word. Directional and strategic to say, who are we going to be now? What are we going to do now? And I just wanted to remind you of it. Because we gathered to this base camp as a bunch of individuals, but really the call was to leave the base camp as a team, wasn't it? As a together group and move forward together. And I'm sure we'll do that. That's kind of, but it's what God's calling us to. And so Amber said that she saw us moving upwards up the mountain from base camp. So the image of base camp was kind of an Everest base or a mountain climbing base camp, wasn't it? And we're moving up towards the Lord. And Amber said as we were moving up, actually she saw people gathering to us because of where we were going, because of what was doing, and seeing kind of where we were going. And so we saw others being brought in and gathered in. But there were others, people, a little way off from the path. And actually, she said, we saw we all had different things in our hands, and we were carrying these to them as we were moving up the path. And she said, do you remember this? We took lanterns to some to bring light. And we took flowers to others. And we took stretchers to other people and brought them in. And we took piles of clothes to other people. And it was more powerful when Amber shared it, to be fair. But anyway, it's just a real anointing. Some of us were wearing armour and we were going out to fight people's battles for them. And it was a sense of Isaiah 61, a call from the Lord, not only just to go up together as a group, but actually to go out and to carry two people. Flowers, stretchers, lanterns, clothes, and fighting people's battles. 23. That's five, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know, those five things inspire me hugely about what God is calling us to be as we look out. And I'd be interested to know what you think about that. I feel like there's direction in that, strategy in that. As we think about God calling us together, going somewhere clearly, gathering people to us, but going out with lanterns, flowers, stretchers, clothes and armour. So we'll see. But I just want to reiterate this morning, there's a sense of call going out of the weekend. It wasn't just a good weekend. It was a good weekend. It wasn't just a good weekend. It was a commissioning, I think, as a movement on to what God has for us. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Praise God. So I'm excited about that, and we need to pray over about that and think about that and see what God is saying. So let's read this story of Zacchaeus, and I'm going to hopefully give us just five quick thoughts about encountering Jesus and moving forward. Let's read it. So it's Luke 19, and it's 9 verses 1 to 10. Sorry, it's 10 verses. 9 or 10. Here we go. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. I like this story. I've got some empathy. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. It's funny, isn't it, a story that we would, Sunday school type story, isn't it? We know it very well. It's a wonderful image of this short guy climbing up a tree and kind of desperately trying to see Jesus. But, I think it's incredibly powerful and speaks to us right here today in terms of what God has got for us. I tell you what really struck me as we read it on Wednesday night. I thought, hold on, we've just done the rich ruler. And the rich ruler, if you turn a page, is just a few verses before. And so what we have here actually is a story of two wealthy men. This is typical of Luke. This is typical, isn't it? We know that Jesus told a story of two sons. This is in Luke 15. And of lost things. Oh, I guess I'm excited. Luke really has got a plan here. He has given us an orderly account. He's arranged some stuff to help us to see something. Luke has got a middle section of the book. In Luke 9:51, Jesus starts going to Jerusalem. It says, Jesus sets off to Jerusalem. Before Luke 9:51, he's in Galilee. He's healing people. He's causing a stir. He's doing all sorts of things. Luke 9:51, he sets off to Jerusalem. And it's quite funny, really, because it takes him 10 chapters to get there. He doesn't actually get in Jerusalem until you get to after where we are right now, 19:28, with the triumphal entry. And he keeps saying, and Jesus kept going to Jerusalem. It's taking 10 chapters. It's not that far. But Luke's wanting to tell us a bit of a story here. So Luke 9:51, it says, Jesus sets off to Jerusalem. And he says immediately, it's a little kind of heading in my NIV Bible, just after Luke 9:51 says, the cost of being a disciple. And so this journey to Jerusalem is not just a nice device. Actually, what Luke does is put into this journey what it means to follow Jesus. The journey to Jerusalem is the journey of being a disciple. And the journey of being a disciple is doing what Jesus did and realizing that there is actually a cost to it. And in this 10 chapters, we find all sorts of teaching about what it means to follow Jesus, all sorts of things that Jesus does. And we get towards the end of this journey, and first of all, he comes up to the rich ruler. The rich ruler, he looks the business. He's a Jew, he's got money, and he's got position. And he wants to know what it takes to be a good Jew. Jesus, tell me what I must do to inherit eternal life. I want to know. And we've done this somewhere. John did it. So. And we look. Do you remember what he said to the rich ruler? Remember? He said, so first of all, he said, "Do you know Jesus kind of is very clever. Yeah, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Oh, no, I've not done that. Go and sell all you can." So the guy who looks like he should really be the man to follow Jesus, he's got all the outside credentials, hasn't he? He's trying to do the right thing. Jesus immediately hits the heart of the matter. This is the clever thing about Jesus, isn't it? The clever thing about Jesus, well, it may be annoying, but it's also what we are called to do, isn't it? If we've got the Spirit of Jesus in us, actually, he's called us to be wise. What Jesus often does is not answer the question at all, isn't it? He's so clever. He comes, let me give you a sideways question. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to get behind your defences and tell you what's really going on. And he says to the rich ruler, I want to speak into your heart. Because there's a problem with your heart. And the rich ruler, who looks like he's got it all together, goes away sad. Jesus loved him, but he goes away sad. Jesus wasn't afraid of challenge. I'll give you 2 minutes on this. The rich ruler, should have been the one to follow Jesus, but he wasn't. Then it says Jesus predicts his death. This is the next section. This is 18:31. And it says this: the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. They didn't know what he was talking about. Who did the disciples sound like? They sound like a bit like the rich ruler. They haven't really got a clue what's going on. They're not seeing it. And then there's this little story, the blind beggar, who says, Jesus is passing by, help me to see. We find the blind beggar who sees. And then we find the story of a man who sees. It's interesting, isn't it? Did you get that? So you've got a man, you've got the rich ruler who doesn't see. Then we find the disciples don't see. Then we find a blind beggar who does see. And then we find the chief tax collector getting it. It's a little story. You can think about that. But let's go back to the rich ruler who should have known and didn't. And we've got this chief tax collector. How many knows a tax collector is a bad man? Not popular, is he? How did he get wealthy?
Cheating people.
Cheating people. The people in the crowd. But he is the one, the unlikely one, who sees exactly what Jesus is about and makes the changes that are required to be Jesus kind of people. So, Luke 19:1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus was passing through. Do you know what? Last weekend could be just Jesus passing through, couldn't it? It's nice. Do you remember when? It was fantastic when Jesus passed through. Do you remember that last year? Oh yeah, it was brilliant. People got healed and, you know, and said some brilliant stuff and we really learned something. He was just passing through. That's an option for us, isn't it? That the last weekend becomes Jesus passing through. An event in our past that we're really happy about. Do you know what? Zacchaeus decided that it wouldn't be just Jesus passing through. Zacchaeus decided to try and get hold of Jesus, to see Jesus, which ended up with Jesus coming home with him. Do you know what? Let's not make last weekend Jesus passing through. Let's make last weekend Jesus coming home with us. And changing our lives. Is that okay?
Yep.
It's the first thing. Is Jesus just passing through? You can just click it on. It's only a few words, but it might. Zacchaeus made a real point. Do you know in the Old Testament, when they encountered God, they made a pile of stones. You read that? In Genesis, every time they go, any time they have a really big encounter with God, they make a pile of stones. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Why make a pile of stones? Well, I'll tell you why. So they don't forget.
Yeah.
They don't forget. And every time they go by again, they go, oh, there's that pile of stones. That was when Jesus encountered me, when God encountered me. You know, I'm not suggesting we should make a pile of stones. You can if you want. Maybe a little pile of pebbles. I don't know what there is. But, you know, we shouldn't forget. And we shouldn't let it become part of our history of this entertaining thing that happened once of Jesus passing through. We need to get hold of it and remember it in our lives. Because when we remember it, it becomes part of us. Okay? So, second thing. Zacchaeus was disadvantaged by his height. There are many ways in which one might be disadvantaged by one's height. And I won't recount the story again of my family photograph where I had to stand on a box. I'm not going to relive that experience. But Zacchaeus decided to get in a position where he could get hold of God. He decided to put himself in a place where he could see. Do you know, we can let our circumstances disqualify us from finding Jesus. We can come up with all sorts of excuses. And one of the, one of the revelations that Debbie brought out on Wednesday night was, do you know what, it's not height that's the problem, not physical height, as it is for me, but actually, you know, we can feel like behind the curve. We can feel like everyone else knows everything, and I don't. And we could decide that actually all we are is a small person at the back of the crowd just seeing bodies. And I think that's why Dwayne's on the front row, isn't it? So you can actually see the words, because normally you're just looking through a sea of bodies. But we can feel like that. Do you know, Zacchaeus decided to get himself in a position where he could see Jesus. And that was a choice.
It was a strategic plan, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. He said, where's Jesus going next? Where he's going to go along there, down that path. There's a tree. I am getting up the tree. I'm not going to stand here moping. I'm not going to stand here going, oh, I can't see, it's not fair. Everyone else is closer than me and they're all bigger than me. I'm going to make a plan so that I can see Jesus. I'm going to get myself in a position so that when Jesus comes along, I can see him. Do you know what? We can make choices in our lives, can't we? To get ourselves in a position to encounter Jesus. So we've had this wonderful experience of Jesus, but we don't want it just to be something passing through. How are we going to get to the point and make sure that Jesus comes home? You understand the imagery here? I want Jesus to come home. What am I going to do to make sure that happens? Because I'll tell you what happens if we don't. If we don't make a pile of stones, if we don't decide to remember, I'll tell you what happens. It becomes something in the past. Because we have this thing in our lives called slippage. It's called day two of a diet, isn't it? Or week two of a diet. Day one, absolutely brilliant. You know, yes, I'm not having that chocolate, not a chance. Yeah, I'm not having this. No, I'm just going to eat this little lovely green salad. Brilliant. Day one, we're fixed. Day two, maybe just a little bit of dressing on the salad. Maybe, you know, a bit of Caesar sauce. It's excellent. But what? By the end of week one, if you're anything like me, you've adorned the salad with steak. just as a garnish, you know, just as a bit of dressing. And then there's a big chocolate pudding for after. For slippage, isn't it? That's what happens if we don't decide to make a choice and a plan to get in a position to encounter Jesus. So there are choices that we need to make in order to see what God has done for us to be something that we still experience next week and the week after. And so what sort of those things might those be? Well, for you, for each of us, that's going to be something different, but it might be deciding to spend some time with Jesus every day, or deciding to pray at a certain point in the day, a reminder to keep praying, finding personal time with Jesus. It might be getting hold of other people to pray with you as a regular thing. It might be being part of a local house of prayer or other ways of gathering together. It might be making sure that you're here on a Sunday morning. Might be it. No, that's a decision. That's putting ourselves in a position up the tree, saying, I'm ready to encounter Jesus. I'm going to put myself in a place where Jesus is going to walk my way. And we can choose to do that, or we can choose not to. So that's the second thing that Zacchaeus did. What did I call it? Get in position to encounter Jesus. Third thing is this. It's the most beautiful thing about this story, that Jesus calls his name. The most beautiful thing in the whole of this story, Jesus, and it's another thing we reflected on a lot on Wednesday night. Wow, what's that like? That when we're sitting in a crowd of people and we feel so anonymous, and just like, you know, it's just me and a bunch of other people and everyone else is more qualified than me, that's how Zacchaeus felt. And Jesus turns around and says, Zacchaeus. Or he says, Mark. Dave, or he says, Rhonda, call my name. So powerful, isn't it? I don't know if you're in those conversations where people use your name. It's a really wonderful thing. I was like, Mark, I just want to say, there's something about calling your name that is so engaging, isn't it? So personal. And so I'm with you. I understand who you are. I'm not somewhere else in my head. I'm with you. Jesus, you know, I'm terrible at remembering names. I wish I was better. The old headmaster at Boothville Primary, he was an absolute legend at this. I remember he met Asher was just born, and we hadn't been at the school very long, and he saw Asher and he looked up and he said, Maddie, this is Asher, isn't it? How did he know that? You know, he always met his Jack. How did he know it was Maddie, and how did he know that the baby was called? Oh, that's so brilliant. I wish I could do that, because that changes everything, doesn't it? Suddenly we're going, this guy, he knows us. You know, we're the headmaster, he knows our name. Because really, we're all, when we meet headmaster, we're all still like kids, aren't we? Yeah. Headmaster. So we go, no, he knows my name. Do you know what? Jesus knows your name. Mm-hmm. Jesus calls out your name. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you know what? Worship, part of worship, is enjoying the fact that Jesus calls out your name. There's a wonder of, I'm coming to the Father and the Father knows my name. Do you know, it's worth being in worship just to hear that voice again that calls you forward. Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. You've got yourself in a position, but I've got more for you than that. And that is a personal relationship. I'm inviting you into my world. Zacchaeus. Dwayne, Jesus calls your name. It's good, isn't it?
It's great.
It's great. And Zacchaeus, a man despised and short. People say that there's a short man's complex. My mum always said this to me. I think she's a bit short, and she's me being the shortest boy of five, like four brothers. And she tried to make sure I never got one. I don't know if I've got one or not. But Mark, don't get a small man's complex.
You mention it.
No, really. Do I ever mention it? No, I don't think I do. But I remember we were listening to a tape, a guy called Peter Wins, actually, and he is short. He's like 5'1". And my mum, I remember mum saying, we were listening to a preach or something, and she said, "You can tell he's short." I don't know if it's just my mum's kind of discerning, you know, abilities, but he's got a small man's complex. Oh, okay, I don't know quite what it is, but there's something that gets in your head, right, when we feel like we are disadvantaged in some way. So height, maybe not height, but other ways, and we look down and get in our, I'm not really good enough. There's something that disqualifies me. For all of us, we've got different things, haven't we? Let's be honest. Don't we think, that disqualifies me. And for some reason, for Zacchaeus, it's noted in the Bible forever. He has a short man's complex. And his thing that disqualified him was being short. All sorts of other things for us. It might be. But he heard something as Jesus called his name and called him to him. And I think it was Dwayne on Wednesday night said, "Do you know, I think Zacchaeus stuck his chest." I think he did. He was loving it. He's going, "Whoa, maybe this doesn't disqualify me after all. Maybe I could be one of Jesus' kind of guys. Maybe Jesus wants me." "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house." "Okay, come on, Jesus, let's have it." Do you know, he didn't have to respond like that, did he? He didn't have to respond like that, but he did. He enjoyed the fact that Jesus invited him. Guys, enjoy the fact that Jesus loves you. Enjoy the fact that Jesus calls your name. So here is his name. What's the fourth thing then? He welcomed him home. Liz said a wonderful thing in her seminar, I thought, just as a side comment. She was commenting on what Dan had shared a few weeks ago, and she said, "Do you know, it's amazing. Dan talks about being blindsided by the word of God." Do you remember that when he preached? Blindsided by the word of God, and suddenly you discover that Jesus calls you and takes you home into the ordinary of your life. It was something like that, wasn't it, Liz? Suddenly, Jesus speaks to you, and you expect the miraculous kapow, and you realise that God's Jesus calling you home. To transform your home. And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. He took Jesus home. Jesus comes into our real life. He wants to be there. Let me just switch this round to the other side. I don't know if you've ever seen the bracelets. What would Jesus do? You seen those? What would Jesus do? Oh, they sell them at the manor house. Shan's got one on. What would Jesus do? Fantastic. There we go. That's lovely. Thanks, Sean.
Guess for the show.
Yeah, no, clashes. What would Jesus do? I don't know if you thought that. I don't know if you prayed it. Lord, make us more like you. Jesus would want to do what you would do. Okay, let me just say this. When was the last time you've been in the house of someone you shouldn't have been in? That's what Jesus does. When was the last time you were in the house of someone who's been despised or rejected by the world at large? That's what Zacchaeus was. When have you been in the house of someone where everyone looked around and said, "What's he doing there? Why would you go there?" We were talking to someone this week and they just happened to say, "Oh, Wednesdays I go and share Jesus with prostitutes in a brothel." I thought, "Oh." I wasn't expecting that in that particular conversation in a lovely, you know, Friday lunchtime sort of thing, but I thought, "Oh yeah, that's probably what Jesus would do." Yeah. Probably where he'd be.
That's what the kind of stories we see. This is what we find in the Gospels, particularly in Luke, as it happens. He wants to get us to get this. We find the story that I should have been speaking on today, which I avoided. I just sort of felt like it was there today, but there's a little bit, which is Luke 7. Jesus is in the house of a Pharisee, the religious, and the woman comes in, who shouldn't have been there. And Jesus is going, this is cool. I'm quite comfortable with this. Listen to this. This is Luke 7, 33 to 35. But John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And this is this. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Wisdom is proved right by all her children. What does that mean? I think it means, you know when something is wise by its fruit, by what happens when you do it. And straight after that, we hear a story of a woman who would be called a sinner finding God, finding forgiveness, finding the grace of God. So let's decide, is the point of this verse here. Let's decide whether Jesus is doing a good thing by being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Let's decide. And we'll decide by looking what happens when he does it. And when he does it, people find healing. People find the kingdom of God in their lives. And people find repentance. And they find new life in Jesus. So let's decide whether it's a good strategy now, shall we? You understand that kind of tone, don't you, in that wisdom is proved right by all the children. Fine, everyone's muttering. Jesus says, I don't care about muttering. I care about this person who's ready and open. Just love the fact that I'm calling his name and I'm inviting him to be part of my crew. So we should work him up. There's the, what would Jesus do? Do you know what? We need to go to people. Be with people who we don't think measure up. We don't look like God's kind of people. Do you know what? They probably are. They're certainly Jesus kind of people. We got the rich young ruler. He looks like a God kind of person. He's got all the qualifications. He's got money. He's earnest after God. Is he the one who will receive Jesus? Nope. He won't. When the challenge comes, he's going to say no. Can't do it. Or is it the tax collector? He's got lots of money. That's been made from all the people around, who's sneered upon and hated. Is he the one that Jesus comes to? Is he the one who's going to find eternal life? That was his question, wasn't it? The rich young ruler. How do I get eternal life? Is the tax collector going to be the one? No, you'd say, wouldn't you? Yeah, he's exactly the one. That's the one. That's what happens when the gospel comes to town. That's what happens when Jesus walks into town and he finds the people who are just ready for him to speak and to find healing in their life. He's the one. It's a lesson for us, isn't it? Number one, we might feel like the tax collector, the chief tax collector. Not because we've got lots of money, but because we maybe just feel like we're not worthy, we're disqualified in all sorts of ways. No, you're not. You're not disqualified. Jesus calls your name. But also, we've got to go to those people, and we are those people. So, we welcome him home. I find it stunning, really, that Jesus doesn't get stuck with his crew, his crowd, if you know what I mean. He doesn't get stuck with his bunch of disciples. He's constantly pressing out into really surprising places. I think that's challenging when we wear bracelets, like, what would Jesus do? So, welcome him home. I'm nearly there. Fifth thing. How do we, and this, all of these a little bit are how, both what Zacchaeus is about, but also what do we do after a weekend? You can see I'm trying to link these together, aren't you? You're getting that. Welcome him home. And then, lastly, make some changes. Make some changes. Do something in your life that shows that Jesus has made a difference in your life. For Zacchaeus, that meant a public, this was big, wasn't it? A public decision. He says, right, you get that impression, don't you? He stood up. There was other people around. It wasn't just a private confessional, was it, with him and Jesus? Do you agree with me that that's probably... This is the public thing. He's going, right, well, as soon as he's gone out and given his money away, people are going to know. Anyway, even if it wasn't public, he's going, yes, Lord, I'm going to give a halfway of my wealth, and if I've cheated anyone, which I have, I'm going to give four times the amount back. Now, this is a very, very bold move, it seems to me, because it is a life-changing decision that does not just affect now, but it affects the future, doesn't it? Because it means in 3 months' time, when he's going, ooh, I'm a bit short on cash, maybe I'll cheat someone. You go, right, I'm going to cheat, you know, tax collector, boom, we'll double it. That's £500 you owe me instead of £250. Boom. They're going to go, well, they're either going to think two things, aren't they? One, they're going to go, hold on, last time you cheated someone, you just paid all that money back. I thought you weren't into that kind of thing anymore. And you'd have gone, oh yeah, forgot. You're right, better not do that. Or, if they're cleverer, they're going to go, fine, I'll give you the money. And then the next day, they'll come, when you cheated someone last time, you gave them four times back. You know, how about that now? But this is a public decision, isn't it? That people are going to keep him accountable to. That's a scary thing. He's going, there is no choice now. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I've got to make some changes. And Mark said this on the weekend. If you're going to move forward, there is always something to leave behind. And some of the things that we need to leave behind might be things we quite like. And it's certainly challenging. And this is the whole point, by the way, of Luke 9:51 to 19:28. There's a cost to following Jesus. And do you know what? Some people can do it, some people can't. But there is a call. There's a call to all of us to say, do you know what? This is not just Jesus passing through. This is a moment in my life that's changed me, and I want to go forward. I want to lay hold together with the church of all that God's got for us. And I want to carry lanterns, and I want to carry stretchers, and I want to go in armour and fight people's battles. I want to take people flowers. Do you want to do that, Justin? Take people flowers. I love that image, actually. Jesus says, great, let's do it. Come on, then. What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to change? What's going to be the permanent change in your life that you're going to do in order to stay on this path and make this experience of God something that stays with you for the rest of your days? Look, that eternally changes your course. Invitation. Do you know what? Jesus always, encounters with Jesus, and if you could go to the next slide for me, buddy. Encounters with Jesus are always involve two things. Okay? First thing is this. Ding. And again. Invitation. This is what Jesus did to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to home with you for tea. He's saying, I love you, Zacchaeus, I'm with you, you're coming with me. Okay. And then there's another thing as well. And that is challenge. That encountering Jesus has within it, built within it, challenge. It costs something. And we don't like this bit so much. Okay, sorry. I don't like this bit so much. High invitation, I want that. Yeah, I'm on Jesus' team. This is great. There's something else that Jesus says. He says, come on. I've got behind your defences and I'm speaking to your heart now. What are you going to leave behind to make this a true reality in your life? Because there's consequences to this. And let's think of this as a graph. Maddie, if you could just click it through. So let's say there's no... Okay, you can stop. Thank you. Let's say there's low challenge. So Jesus has... You know, we're not really feeling like God's called our name. We're not really feeling... This call to be part of a body of people like this. And there's no challenge. It's just a bit boring. Nothing's happening. Okay, that's one option. There's another option, which is high challenge, but low invitation. That means it's challenge. Come on, let's do this. We can do this thing. Get on with it. You've got to give up. Bam, bam, bam. Push forward, but no sense of you're with me. I love you. Come with me. We're a team together. And what happens then is you get a stressed culture. People are trying to do stuff but don't really feel supported to do it. Yeah, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You okay with this? Okay, let's go to the next one. What about this one then? So you've got high invitation, so lots of come on, let's go, we're a team together. Zacchaeus, I love you, you're on my team. But no real challenge. Not really pressing on. Actually, you end up with a consumer culture. We're all a bit comfortable. It's nice. Do you know what? It's nice. Do we want to be a nice church in that way?
you know, I'm not sure that we do. Mm-hmm. Not sure that we do. What about the other one? Finally, we get discipleship in the sense of this is what Jesus calls Zacchaeus to. He says, Zacchaeus, you're on my team. I've called your name. I love you. You're mine. Come on, let's go. You're with me. But Zacchaeus doesn't even have to give the challenge. Zacchaeus knows it already. Do you know, if I'm going with Jesus, with you, Jesus, I can't have this anymore. There's a challenge to me. And I'm willing. I'm willing to do it. That's what the rich ruler was not willing, was he? He was not willing. When it came to the high challenge, he said, you know what, I'll go back to cozy. That's probably where he was, wasn't he? I'll go back to cozy. But no. I want to press on, Zacchaeus says. Salvation's come to this house. The unlikely, the despised, the disadvantaged, the disqualified. Jesus says, you're my kind of people. Do you know, if you feel like that today, you're Jesus' kind of people. And he said, come on, let's go. Let's go with me. Let's walk together. It's going to be challenging, but it's going to be an adventure. Will you, going forward from this weekend, let's say, be willing to make some sacrifices in order to get hold of all that God's got for us, to be part of his plan, to be part of his purpose, going forward together as a people? Amen. Amen. Shall we just pray? Just thank you for this, what we've read today about Zacchaeus, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, for how you see a man like Zacchaeus. Thank you that you don't see him externally, but you know his heart. And you see him as a man after you, as you step into his life. And I thank you, Jesus, for how you stepped into our lives. Mm. How you've called our name, and we can enjoy that so much, God. I'm so grateful for that, Lord. So grateful for that, Lord, for each one of us today. And Lord, I want to walk forward with you. Lord, I want to know, I want all that we've experienced together, Lord, to be something that takes us forward as a community together. Even as we take on the challenge of being the kind of people you called us to be, of carrying out this prophetic mission that you've called us to. Yeah, Lord, we pray. Take us into following you better, Lord. We know the rewards are worth everything. And we know really that we've got nowhere else to go. It's not like there's any great options here other than to get our lives in line with you. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. May we be like you more and more. And may you not be passing through our lives, but may you live in our home, Lord, in our life, in our heart, as we carry forward together. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Okay. Oh, leave that a minute. Can you get it back? Good.
We poke fun at Mark, these little graphs, don't we? But that's good, isn't it? That's good.
I know. I think I know where I am in that. I mean, the cosy bit, actually. Probably us as a church, we're sort of in that cosy bit somewhere. I think I'd like to think we're moving to this discipleship bit. That's where we want to go, isn't it? We want to be as a church and as individuals in that empowered culture. It's a bit of a buzzword, isn't it? We want to be following Jesus, yeah. Don't we?
Yeah.
We want to be walking with him and having that challenge every day of, come on, what can I do with you today, Dave? I something happened in my spirit last weekend. I couldn't tell you what. I felt different this week. And I went to work on Friday. I do that now and again, baby. And I just was ready. I don't know what, I can't. And somebody started talking to me about laying on of hands. for healing. There was a word she used. It was some new age thing about some heat, and I don't know. I got into a conversation with this person on a building site about healing, and then about her husband doesn't approve of Halloween. And we got into this start of a spiritual conversation. When we're looking, I think God takes us at our word.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be. I want to follow up on that now this week. Let's just stand, and I'm sure you've got a song. Let's just open our hearts to God. And Father, as Mark has spoken to us, Lord, you've been speaking to each of us. Father, thank you that, you call us by name. You don't deal with us as a block, as a mass of people, but Lord, you know exactly where we are. You know what we need. You know what challenge, what words we need. So Father, come now. We want to open our hearts to you. May you minister to us as we just close our morning together, Father, that we might be moving towards you, more towards being your follower, your disciple, more to being empowered by your Spirit for living. Thank you, Father. Your word says that, Peter says that you're giving us everything we need for life and for godliness. Not that we do it in our own strength, Father, but we live it in the power of Jesus, the power of his Spirit. So as we sing this song, let's open our hearts.